turn this on. We're going to begin to record. 72 A. I am Bays. I'm an Aleph. Shvius. We just had someone who unfortunately was the recipient of the pasuk Paritz Geder Yishkenu Nachash. Let's continue. Reb Shimon ben Yochai Avad Shmir ben Ma'ar Tutlas Asar Shnin, as we're well aware, he hid in a cave for 13 years because of the Romans who were seeking his life. B'Moras Karuvin, it's called the Cave of the Carob Trees.
Wow.
Yeah. Ad Shehela Gufay Chaluda, till his body, he says here, mold emerged upon his body. I mean, the Gemara in Gittin, is it Gittin or someplace? I forget where it was. What was it? Shabbos 33b, is it? Maybe it was Shabbos 33b. Yeah. That he and his son Elazar hid themselves in a cave, a carob tree and a spring of water miraculously created for them. And to preserve their clothing, they wore it only while they davened. And all the other times they would take off the clothing and sit in sand up to their necks and study. This is a very interesting way to maintain a cheap wardrobe. Yeah. So I guess if you do that, the mold will emerge on your body. Anyway, Lasov Tlas Asa Shnin, at the end of 13 years, he said the following. Leino Nofik Chamei Makola Ba'almo. Shall I not go out and see what news there is in the world? Is the decree still in effect, basically? Fakisiv Leal Puma de Ma'arto. So he went out and sat at the mouth of the cave. I mean, you don't want to go too far, you know. He's been in the cave.
He was wearing his clothes.
He'll go to the opening of the cave. You know, that's as far as he'll go, you know. Chamo, he saw Chad Sayod, a certain hunter, Sayed Seporin. He was putting out his snare to trap a bird. He was a bird trapper. Pras Mitzute. Shema Brakola Omra. He heard Brakola Omra. He heard a Baskol saying, "Demos, have mercy." Vishtezevas, and the bird was saved. In other words, this bird, you know, was coming close to getting caught, and there was a bas call that Rav Shimon Yochai heard say, you know, it's a rachmanis on this poor bird, and the bird was saved, he didn't get captured, right? So, it says over here, thus he saw, in footnote 7, it says he saw that even the fate of mere birds is governed entirely by heavenly decree, right? This is an ongoing discussion I used to have with my first cousin, Eretz Yisrael. They were very fond of quoting Midrashim and things like this, that there's a malach in every blade of grass and there's no leaf that turns over in the wind if there isn't some kind of a hashgacha pratis on it. You know, this was the from raid. Mm-hmm. So here too, you know, every bird, whether it gets trapped or not, is, you know, the heavenly decree. Amar, so what he learned from this, what Rav Shimon Yochai learned from this maisa that he saw? Tzipor mi bal adei shmaya lo yavda. A bird is not lost without heaven decreeing it should be lost. Kosha came by nosha, surely a man. So that gave him hope for his situation. That's what it says over here. Karkoma de shadchan milaya. When he saw that the matter of the decree had quieted down, apparently, 8. His death sentence had been annulled, it says over here. The Bavli relates that they learned of the annulment of the decree from Eliyahu HaNavi. They emerged from the cave, but proved unable after their long separation from all things profane to reconcile themselves to the mundane pursuits of ordinary men. So Hashem had them go back to the cave. They were there another 12 months, and then they were allowed to leave. That's the Bavli. Okay. But here we don't have that. When he saw that things were quieting down, Omar, he said, let's go down and warm ourselves in the hot springs of Tveria. I mean, after all, you know, if you've been sitting in the dirt for 13 years,
time to take a bath.
It's time to take a bath, right?
So he was up in the Galilee. This is all taking place.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Yeah.
Omar.
Do we know where this cave is?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Omar,
I mean,
it
depends which travel guide you have.
Yeah, Omar, so he said,
there's a place to buy Snapple down the block, it's $4 a bottle.
Srichen, okay. There's someone that just joined the share, his name is Tzvi, it's not Tzvi, it's T-Z-V-I, he spells his name T-Z-H-I. Welcome, C.
That's a mistake.
Okay. So he said, we have to do something for the city. In other words, it says by Yaakov Avinu, famous pasuk, right? That what Yaakov Avinu showed certain kind of pain towards the city. And the Gemara says that he set up marketplace in the city, right? Yaakov Avinu. So the same way Yaakov Avinu did something for the city, so Shimon Chai felt he should also do something for Tveria, right? Yaakov established a marketplace, a market mashuk, and they sold goods cheaply in the market. So when he wants to emulate, Rav Shimon Chai decides he's going to do something also with Tveria. Omar, Daki Tveria, let's cleanse Tveria of questionable tumas meis. That's what we're going to do. Apparently there was a lot of tzveikus over there. 13, it says there was a public thoroughfare in Tveria where there was suffolk, whether there were some corpses there. It was not known whether this had occurred, and if it had, precisely where the grave was located. It caused great hardship for the city's kohanim, who couldn't go on that city. They had to take a long, circuitous route around that location in order to avoid the tumah. This is like, you know, Main Street in Kew Garden Hills. I don't know. You know, Main Street, you got these trees on Main Street hanging over. There's a base oilum over there, and there's trees over here, and you can't go to the pizza shop. The pizza shop's right there, right past the base oilum. Naomi's, yeah.
Okay, but you go to Benji's.
Oh, okay, come on. How are you going to go there? You got to go all the way around.
You
got to
walk on the street.
Yeah, you got to walk on the street. Okay. So this is like the same. So what he's going to do is he's going to clean up the area. That's Rav Shimon Chai is going to do that, right? I don't know how this works. But he took lupines, he cut them up, and he cast them about.
You know what
the
lupines are?
I don't know what.
Don't ask such questions.
I don't know what he's doing with these lupines. Whatever they are, lupines. They're some kind of vegetable, right? So
he's doing it nice.
Honda have a misa, wherever there was a corpse, have a tayef, the salak min le'el. It miraculously floated up out of the ground, and he removed the corpse from before them. So he was able to clear the area of any dead bodies.
Lupines are magnetic.
It's magnetic, yeah, it has a magnetic force. Pulls the bodies out of the ground.
Lupine. What is a lupine?
It's a vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, some vegetables you eat in yeshiva that cause you to go under the ground. These little vegetables cause you to come out of the ground.
If you read 15,
it will
help you understand.
Thank you.
Bavli explains why he used lupines. Before cleansing the area, he wished to determine that the area had never had been an established cemetery, in which case you couldn't exhume the graves, right? If it's a base oilum, you can't empty the graves. You have to leave it there. So he was informed by an elderly person that years before, Birka Mazaki, who was a Kohen, would cut lupines of Truma in that very place. Had it ever been used as a cemetery, he would not have done this, perforce. The most favorite word in art school, perforce. Any Tuma in the place could only have come from individual corpses that might have been buried there. And upon learning this, he undertook to cleanse the area. So he used lupines in the ceremony to underline the fact, or to bring out the idea, that the authority behind his presumption of the area's former tower was another than Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, who used these lupines of Truma to demonstrate his tower in the earlier time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a whole svar behind you know, connecting the lupines with Rebbe Menzakai.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Hamsei Chag Kuti. So there's one Kuti sees him cleaning the Toma. Amar, so he was mocking him. Leino Azal Mafle B'Hodein Savad Yudoi. Shall I not go and mock this elder Jewish person? The Sav Chag Mis. He went ahead and took a corpse. Also, Atmeri Hund Dake. So he went and he hid it in one of the places that Rishon Bechai had already cleaned out. So he took a dead body, stuck it in one of the holes, because he wants to say,
he had a dead body.
Easy to find a dead body. So Oshel Akami Reb Shem Yochai, so he came in front of Shem Yochai, Amalei says to him, law, Dachias Hasar Plan, you didn't clean out that, did you not clean out that place? Esav, Anomafik Lachmisa Mitamana, come on, I'll show you, there's still a dead body there. Tzofer Reb Shem Yochai Baruch HaKadosh. So he saw that Nesonoshom, he saw that this Kusi had placed the corpse there of Amar. And he said the following, Goyzerani al ha'oyonim sheyerdu, I decree upon that which is about above the ground, meaning the Kusi who's standing above the ground, sheyerdu, that he should go down into the ground, and al ha'tachtonim sheyalu, and on those that are beneath the ground, that they should come up. In other words, there should be like a shtickle t'chias ha'mesim over there, and he should come up, right?
Yeah, but he's not gonna be alive.
It says over here. See, I thought this was gonna be just like the previous, you know, pulling the tumah out of the ground.
Yeah.
But in the English, he says it live again. I don't know how he knows that. And live again. Okay, 16. I guess that's what it says in Menorah. Whatever.
Chavaslay, maybe Chavas and Chaye is the same.
Chayin Chavaslay, and so it happened. He died, and the corpse came back to life. That's what it says over here. So that's the way it goes. So the joke's on him. So you're right, Kuzi. There is a dead person. It's you, right? Miavad Kumi.
If he left it there, then it would have defeated his purpose.
Exactly, and that's why.
Kuzi is a guy. If it's human's goof or a guy, it was only later on that I forget. Somebody
said that the Kusim
are going.
Oh. Yeah, whatever. Okay. He was dead above ground, and they took care of him. Mi avar kumei mogdala, and when he was passing before a certain tower, Shoma Kali de Safra, so he heard a scholar, and he again is saying something mocking. Omar mockingly said, Ho bar yochai midake tveria, behold, Bar Yochai is cleaning up Tveria. A Malay, he said to the scribe, Yavoy alayim lo shamati she Tveria asidu l'tayr. He says, let disaster befall upon me if I didn't learn through many proofs that Tveria is destined to be cleaned. Afilu kein lo hemonin hayas, and nevertheless you did not believe it? In other words, Shem Yochai is telling this guy, I knew through some proofs. What are the proofs that he's talking about over here?
This guy turned. Shem Baruch Hai, really, you know.
Start up with him, I'm telling you right now.
Miyad
Nasagal Shal Thomas. So, the person that mocked him turned into a heap of bones.
That's good.
So, it says over here, the expression denotes a corpse whose flesh has rotted away, leaving only the bones. Shem Yochai accused this person too of having breached the fence of the rabbis by attempting to undermine his ruling concerning the Torah of the city, whatever it is. Okay, so that's the stories of Shem Yochai on Ayin Beis and on Aleph. And that is the end of the sugya so far, the beginning of the parak, which had to do with what? What were we discussing until now? What was the topic till now? The topic was Svichen, right?
Svichen,
that was the first topic. The second topic we said we're going to discuss is Biur. And I didn't expect it to come up so quickly. It's Halacha Beis, we're already talking about Biur. Anyway.
What if the Rishon Ben Yochai have to do with the first topic? Did anybody say anything about that?
It started with a story, right? It started with the story that on Ayin Aleph on the base, there was a story where Shem Ben Yochai saw somebody go going ahead and violating the Svichim on Shvias, and he said to him, "Don't you know it's also?" He said, "Don't, aren't you the one that was moderate?" And he said, "No, my chaverim are chaylik on me, yachid rabim walchik rabim, and you shouldn't have been samech on me," and that was the end of him. Okay, that's how we got into this. I wouldn't, there's certain rabbonim who I just, you know, I would just not go to their yeshiva. It's just not worth it. I mean, Yochanan, he picked up his eyes and boom, that was it. You know, forget about it. It's just not worth it. Shal Sharasis Labir. So now, this Mishnah is going to talk about the three lands in Eretz Yisrael that are three separate geographic locations as far as what's considered Kol Chayim and Asada, right? So, again, the rule is, we know that once there's no food available for the highest in the field, you can no longer eat your food at home, right? You have to do beer, which is either it means, according to the Rambam, you have to do beer mamash, according to the Ramban, you have to be mafkarit, according to the Ravid, it depends whether it's local. It's a split. Ravid splits it, so that he's halfway between the Ramban and the Rambam. They both write. If you're just locally, there's no chayil minasada, so then you go and you mafkar it. But if it's completely gone to any chay in the whole country, then you have to destroy it. That's how he makes like a pshar between the Ramban and the Rambam. Very interesting. Anyway, so that's what we said. We said all this already.
The word beer is Hebrew or Aramaic?
Beer
is
Aramaic.
It's like beer chametz. It's the same word.
Yeah, same word.
Levi'er, I think, is a Hebrew word.
Could you explain again what beer is?
Sure.
We've been talking about a lot. Could you go back and explain?
One more time?
Yeah,
one more time. If you have Shvias produce, let's take an example. You have black beans that you picked from your garden. And there are black beans in the wild as well, available for the animals to eat. So as soon as the animals no longer have black beans, at that point you have to take all your black beans that you have from Shvias. According to the Rambam, you have to destroy them. According to the Ramban, you just put them out on your front step and you declare them hefker, and then you could go be chayz of a zeicha boy. You know, you could.
Why?
Be...
Well, what's wrong with them?
What's that?
Why are they usser?
So the svara that they say is that you want to show that all the payrus are available to the animals, just like they're available to me. I have no more ownership. It's a way of showing that my ownership throughout this entire process is nil. It's negligible. So say it's negligible.
Okay.
To the extent that now that you know, if there's nothing left for the animals, then I don't have anything left for me either, and I'm just like the wild. I'm no better than a wild animal. Right? And I'm putting it out there, and it's hefker, anybody can take it. I'm showing I don't have the ownership. That's a terrible cost. Anyway, so that's the halacha l'maaseh. So now, there are three geographic areas in Eretz Yisrael, since Mishnah is going to introduce to us. Those three areas, meaning, those three areas is you look around in these geographically defined areas. You know, let's just take for example, you know, like New York, New Jersey, and Delaware. Okay, so you have three areas. So if you live in New York, so you look for the highest in New York. As soon as there's no more highest in New York, then you have to be mavirate. But as long as there are highest in New York, you can continue to eat it. So even though there may be no more highest in New Jersey, it may be not available, but it doesn't matter. We live in New York, and as long as it's available in New York, I can continue to eat it, right? So here's the same idea here. So there's three arachas. Shosh arachas labia. There's three lands. Yehuda, Aver, Hayarden, Vigolo. Okay, we're going to get into a little more detail in a minute, but this is the whole basic idea. So you look at each geographic area, and that is the area where you measure the animals. See whether it's available.
Other
area. Is there anything else that has the three arotzes? I don't know offhand. I can't tell you. I'm not familiar with it.
They have their own based in their own.
No, I don't think so.
Draft.
I'm not familiar with any other rules. Now, v'sholosh sholosh arutzos l'chol achas l'achas. Now, besides these three generic locations, let's call them three separate sub-states within Eretz Yisrael, each sub-state was further divided into an additional three parts. That's sholosh, v'sholosh arutzos l'chol achas. There's three parts to each one of those above. So you have three parts of Yehuda, three parts of Abraham Yadayim, three parts of Gol. And now the Mishnah is going to go ahead and going to define what the three parts are in each area. Before we go to the three parts, so just to remind us what it means. So it means, so if you have a mountainous, well, basically we're going to say there are mountainous areas, there's a valley, and then there's a plain, okay? So so you have a low-lying area, you have a high-lying area, and then you have a valley. So each place, like in Yehuda, you're going to have three locations, and if you live in the valley, and there's chayas that have food available in the valley, you can continue to eat. But if you live in the mountains and there's no more food in the mountains, you can't continue to eat. You have to be mivarit. So each one of these different parts of Eretz Yisrael is further divided by three parts. So now it's going to elaborate on what these places are. And you can follow along on the map as you read the Mishnah. You'll see it's very, very easy. Mikfar Hananya Lamalon, from Far Hananya above. So if you look at the map, you'll see there's a dashed line. You see where it says Far Hananya?
Yeah.
So what?
So
Far Hananya, so that is going to be the border, okay?
I don't see no Far Hananya on my page 72B2.
I do.
72B1.
It's right underneath the
72B1.
The dashed
one. Okay, I'm on the wrong page. Sorry about that. Yetz Vershteich.
See it?
Okay.
Yeah. So then from Far Hananya above,
uh-huh.
So anything that's north of that Far Hananya area, so that is called She'enu Megala Shikman. Sycamores don't grow there because it's very high up.
Uh-huh.
Then that is called the Gol Ha'Elyon, the Upper Galilee. The Far Hananya Lamaton, and south, if you go from there below, Kol She'enu Megala Shikman, and that's where sycamores do grow. So Gol HaTachton, that's the Lower Galilee. And then you have the third part, which is Tchum Tveria, the region of Tveria, the valley of the Galilee. So if you look to the right, you look at the Sea of Galilee, and you'll see there's a rectangle there, box that says valley on it with an arrow. So it's pointing to that area on the inside there. Now there's a...
Inside that dotted line.
Now you can see this more clearly defined if you turn to the back and you go to the appendix 2, the three lands of Beer, and there it's in color, so you'll appreciate it more. And if you look over there, you'll see Kfar Hananya with a dashed line, and then you have on the actual page, there's a small box there where you can see very clearly the Valley of Galilee. You see how it's defined over there. Okay? It goes from the north of the Yam Kinneret. You see there's a dashed line all the way in the north, and it comes across to the east, then it comes down all the way south to Beit Shan. So all that, what's inside that, is considered the valley. So that's the third area. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Yehuda, what about Yehuda? So, Hahar HaShel HaEmek, the mountains, the lowlands, and the valley. And Ushvela Slod, Kishvela Sadarom, the lowlands of Lod are like the lowlands of the south. For Hahar Shalah Kahar Malach, its mountain is like the mountain of the king that is in Judea. So, the exactly what this means you look in the back, if you look in the back, he talks about if you look at the map over here in appendix 2, you'll see you have the upper Galilee, lower Galilee at the top of Eretz Yisrael, then you have Shomron in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, then you have at the bottom you have Judea. So it's Shomron is a whole topic all by itself, exactly what's that part of. Some say that Shomron is part of the lower Galilee. That's that the lower Galilee actually goes all the way south, all the way down to the Judea area. And some say the other way. Some people say that the Judea area, the mountainous part, goes all the way up to Ganim, and it's actually part of the Judea area. So it's not really clear exactly what Shomron is.
So are we concerned there about the relative relationship between the three zones and the three departments in each zone? Because, in other words, the lowlands of one may be lower than the lowlands of the other.
Absolutely. There's no relationship whatsoever. There's no relationship.
Each area is divided in three because the topography of the land is going to produce different kinds of food.
There'll be more animals in one area over another, so the consumption rate will be quicker. Yeah. These last statements, I don't really have that good a shot in it because there's a whole essay about this, which I did not get a chance to read. It has to do with the Transjordan part over here.
That's part of the boundary.
In number 4, the regions of Beis Choron and Lod. So he goes through what the Mishnah says. He starts reading the parts of our Mishnah. If you take a look over there on Appendix 2, Section 4, he has over here the standard opinion, the Gruz opinion, and the Rambam's opinion. So over here, just the beginning of it, we'll just look at it inside, and we'll just kind of like get started with it. So the Mishnah says, the lowlands of Lod are like the lowlands of Judea. Its mountain is like the mountain of the king, from Beis Horon until the sea is a single land. So what does that mean exactly? The Gemara will tell us that the region of Beis Horon contains all three topographical types, mountains, lowlands, and valley. So from Beis Horon until Amos are mountains, Amos until Lod are lowlands, Lod until the sea is the valley. And so it's just describing which parts are which. I really need to read it inside more to get what's going on over here.
This is a little bit like figuring out what a royal penny is.
It's just
geography.
It's just geographic maps, but that's basically all it is. That's basically all this mission is doing. It's just telling us about the three places, and each place is divided into three parts, and it defines what the three parts are. Okay, that's where we'll stop here today. Okay.
Are we talking about when Israel came into the land, according to when Israel came in?